Good morning to you all, and welcome to the sixth Sunday in Easter, as you and I rejoice in the fact that our Lord continues to live. Today you and I rejoice that as He lives that allows us now to live in praise and in thanks as we love Him and as we love those that He places around us. The order of service, again, is posted with this video. God's blessings as you worship your Lord and your Savior this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. We pray. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from You. Inspire us to think those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to Your gracious will. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. He lives. We continue on in our Easter season, rejoicing in the fact that the risen Lord and Savior, and because He lives, guides and directs us. The lessons for this sixth Sunday of Easter help you and me to rejoice in the fact that we get to love Him. The Apostle Paul points that out, that our Lord and our God placed us where we are and when we live, that we may live for Him and praise Him. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 17. Then Paul stood up in front of the council of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking around and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar on which had been inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as unknown, this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made with hands. Neither is He served by human hands, as if He needed anything, since He Himself gives all people life and breath and everything they have. From one man, He made every nation of mankind to live over the entire face of the earth. He determined the appointed times and the boundaries where they should live. He did this so that they would seek God and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, indeed, we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, We should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by human skill and planning. Although God overlooked the times of ignorance, He is now commanding all people everywhere to repent, because He has set a day on which He is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man He appointed. He provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. This is the word of our Lord. As you and I live in the love of our Lord and our Savior because He lives, our second lesson encourages us to always be ready to proclaim the love of Christ when we have that opportunity. 1 Peter chapter 3. But regard the Lord, the Christ, as holy in your hearts. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But speak with gentleness and respect, while maintaining a clear conscience, so that those who attack your good way of life in Christ may be put to shame, because they slandered you as evildoers. Indeed, it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Because Christ also suffered once for sins in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in flesh, but was made alive in spirit, in which He also went and made an announcement to the spirits in prison. These spirits disobeyed long ago, when God's patience was waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In this ark, a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went to heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to Him. This is the word of our Lord. Let's speak together the verse of the day. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. Alleluia. If anyone loves me, he will hold on to my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the sixth Sunday of Easter is recorded for us in John chapter 14.
Glory be to you, O Lord. Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus is speaking to his disciples on Maundy Thursday evening. He says, "If you love me, hold on to my commands. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. You know Him because He stays with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The one who has my commands and holds on to them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him."
Praise be to you, O Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our living Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit who comes to remind us again through His Word that He lives indeed as our risen Savior and Lord. We gather this morning and we focus our attention on the words of our gospel lesson for today, rejoicing in the fact that you and I get to live in love. And as I thought about the words of the gospel lesson, and as you and I think about how Jesus encouraged His disciples and you and me to live in love, I got to thinking about how this world often seems to live in extremes. There seems to be so much hate. There's wars going on all over the world. Nations that aren't getting along, tribal communities that don't get along, ideologies that simply cannot tolerate others. And so those wars go back and forth with all the pain and the suffering that it causes. Crime that ravages neighborhoods and streets and breaks into the privacy of homes and turns life upside down. Family strife and family quarrels as husband, wife, mom, child simply cannot get along, and it seems to tear everything apart. Polarization that takes place as soon as an opinion is shared, whether that's in governmental chambers or over the backyard fence. There seems to be so much hate. And yet you've got people busy making masks for others, and they're offering to run errands and buy groceries and busy visiting through the window just so somebody doesn't have to feel so alone. I think you understand the tension. You understand those extremes because you and I are constantly living those extremes because they're right here inside of us. Every one of us has that sinful nature that takes us to the extreme of selfishness. And often selfishness shows itself in not wanting anything that anybody else wants. But we also know our risen Lord. We know who Jesus is. And that takes us to that kind of love that we talk about today. Because we know who Jesus is, we live in love. Live in God's love. Live in our love. Let's start with God's love. Even before we get into the words of our lesson, you and I already understand it has to start with God's love. God's love is what drives and fuels everything that takes place. If it wasn't for God's love, we really wouldn't understand what our love is all about. So you and I rejoice as our Lord and our Savior in these few short words, some of the last words that He spoke directly to His disciples before He was betrayed, suffered, and died. He weaves together in these verses the amazing love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We marvel at how that triune God loves you and loves me. So as you and I live in love, as we live in God's love, we rejoice in the fact that we are loved by the Father. And one of the ways that the Father shows His love is the Father answering the prayer of the Son to send the Spirit. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever." Jesus is getting ready to go. And so He talks about asking the Father to send another Counselor. He's already sent one. He's already sent someone who is a helper, a confidant, someone who stands at your side and walks along with you to encourage and guide you. He's already sent Jesus to them. Jesus has been their Counselor for all those years of His ministry. But He's also going to send another Counselor, another Helper, another one who is going to walk alongside and encourage them along the way. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. We are loved by the Father as He makes sure that we have what we need to go through this life. As you and I live in love and focus in on God's love, we also rejoice in the love of the Son. That's probably the love that's the most obvious. We easily see how much Jesus loves this world. After all, the Father has been promising to send His Son, and the Spirit is busy pointing our attention back to the Son. That's who He wants us to be thinking about. His love is obvious. Look at His life. All those needs that were brought to Him, all those people who came to Him, and so He taught, and He comforted, and He healed. And all of it was perfect. He didn't ever do this reluctantly. He didn't roll His eyes at the questions that came to Him. He wasn't looking for some kind of remuneration or payback if He was going to do something nice for someone else. He was simply that absolutely perfect person that God had intended all of us to be. You see the Son's love as He carries out that perfect life. You also see that love in His perfect teaching as He corrected, rebuked, forgave. Some of that wasn't always easy. A lot of it wasn't really accepted. And yet He didn't bow to public pressure. He didn't go along with popular opinion. He didn't just share what He was thinking. He said what the Father sent Him to say. He taught what the Father sent Him to teach. And even in that teaching, that perfect proclamation of what sin is all about and what salvation is all about was proclaimed to those people as He lived in this world. You can really see the Son's love. But now He talks about leaving. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. I can't imagine what it must be like to be an orphan. That is something that is not part of my experience. Oh, there's been times when I've been alone, and you probably can think of times when you are alone. But the idea that there's no one there to provide and no one there to protect, the idea that you've been abandoned, either because mom or dad had no choice or because they just simply didn't want you around, that's beyond my experience. And I can't imagine what it must feel like to be abandoned, to have no one to protect and no one to provide. Is that how the disciples felt? Jesus had been there. He was there throughout that ministry. They were following Him. They were listening to Him. He was providing for them. He was protecting them. And now is He abandoning them? Yes, He's leaving, but He's not abandoning. In fact, yes, He's leaving, but it's not a permanent thing. Even though the world was not going to see Him again, they would see Him again. That risen Lord would continue to live, and they would see their victorious Lord and Savior, who continues to provide and continues to protect. The amazing love of the Son. We're also loved by the Spirit. That amazing gift sent by the Father and the Son. The Spirit who is, remember how Jesus described Him? The Spirit of Truth. Who takes that precious Word of God and directs you to that truth. Later on that same evening, Jesus described in His prayer to His Heavenly Father and asked Him to sanctify them by the truth, "Your Word is truth." The Spirit wants you thinking about God's, the Father's, grace. He wants you to focus in on the fact that God the Father, the Creator, the Holy God, who certainly could have left that judgment hang over the heads of sinners, but came up with a way instead to have that judgment diverted to a substitute who would live and die in the place of fallen sinners. And in His amazing grace, find a way to take that fallen creation and still show His love. The Spirit directs you to that truth. The Spirit wants you to think about Jesus, directing you to His love. He wants you thinking about how your Lord and your Savior was willing to become your brother, how He was willing to live and die for you. He wants you focused on everything that Christ has done. And so He uses this precious word. He comes in the gospel, He comes in those sacraments, and proclaims to you everything that the Father has promised and the Son has fulfilled. And then the Spirit gives you what He asks of you. As that word is proclaimed, all that is asked is that we believe. And then He gives you that ability. He gives you that faith so that you do trust and do know and do believe that all of that was done for you. And now we live in love because we know God's love. You have the Father's love. Just think about the last several weeks. Just think about all the upheaval and everything that's turning upside down. Perhaps you and your family have had some of that upheaval. Perhaps some job loss. Maybe there is the threat or perhaps the reality of sickness looming large over you. And yet God the Father has continued to give you the food that you need and the shelter that you need. He has given you everything necessary for this life. And perhaps He's also supplied some of the people who have given you those needs when perhaps you yourself couldn't provide on your own. Do we take that for granted? Especially now? Do we at times forget that we have the Father's love and that He does continue to provide and protect? Are we perhaps more in tune with what we think has been taken away, instead of rejoicing in what He has given? You have the Son's love. You have the Lord Jesus Himself, who was willing to become your brother, who was willing to step into this world, who was willing to live and die in your place. He lives. He did all of that perfectly, guaranteed in the resurrection. And now He lives so that you know His love is perfectly given to you. Do we take that for granted? Are we sometimes too wrapped up in this temporary life and all the things that are going around us now, and we forget about the eternal life guaranteed because of God's love through His Son? You have the Spirit's love. You have Him taking you back to Word and Sacrament. You have Him pointing to the fulfillment of all of the promises. You have the Spirit who says not only is He going to be with you, but He's also going to be in you. He uses this word and He moves into your heart and He cleans it all up and He sets up residence. A real counselor. Someone who's with you. Someone who is a helper. And He does all of that as you and I stay in this precious gospel of forgiveness in Christ. Do we take that for granted? If we at times considered that we've learned everything that we need to know and we don't need to be in the Word anymore, if we at times considered the Word to be out of date, obsolete, irrelevant, live in love. God's love. Because God's love covers every sin. Every sin. Which means we get to love. As you and I live in love and rejoice in the fact that He lives, now we get to live in our love. Obviously, this all stems from God's love. Obviously, this all flows out of God's love. Our love is not the cause of God's love. Our love is not something that leads God to want to do things for you and for me. No, our love is the result of God's love. Everything that we have been talking about takes the very first word that seems to be a pretty big if. If you love me, hold on to my commands. When it comes to our relationship with our Lord and our God, sometimes those if statements seem to loom pretty large. But God's love, everything that we have been talking about, reminds us that this becomes absolute confidence. Not that you and I have to obey His commands. We will obey His commands. After all, everything that we've talked about, with all the love that has been showered upon us by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how can we not respond? How can we not love? How can we not let our love flow? Because you know what Jesus said. Because I live, you also will live. Because He lives. Easter never gets boring. Easter never gets old. Easter never goes away and needs to be set aside until it comes around again next year. Easter fills us with that joy of what Jesus is all about. And because He lives, you and I get to live right now. Imperfect as we are and struggling as it may be, we get to live now, rejoicing in that great love. Because He lives, we are also going to be living forever in the glories of heaven. There will come that time when we will be with Him, and all the sin will be gone, and all the imperfection will be removed, and all of the effects of sin will no longer affect us. Because I live, you also will live, and that drives our love. And so we live. Our love becomes an opportunity for others to see that we love our Lord. Acts chapter 4 describes an opportunity when Peter and John, one of the times, that they had stood in front of the high priest and the other leaders. They had just healed a man who was lame. Acts chapter 4 then says, "The next day the rulers, the elders, and the experts in the law assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the rest of the high priest's family. After they made Peter and John stand in front of them, they began to question them, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we are being questioned today for a kind act that was done for the lame man, as you see, this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that it was by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By Him, this man stands before you healed. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved.' When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and found out that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were astonished and took note of the fact that these men had been with Jesus." Isn't that the greatest compliment any Christian could ever get? May it be said of you and me, as our love flows out to those around us, that people notice that we've been with Jesus. And as our love lets people know that we love Jesus, our love often becomes the way that Jesus lets them know that Jesus loves them too. He gives us chances to proclaim that word. He gives us the opportunity to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. And as you and I rejoice in that, don't overthink it. God will give you opportunity after opportunity to just be yourself. To just look for those opportunities and take those opportunities. And as you go through regular day-to-day life, simply love. As our love reflects Jesus' love for ourselves and for the world around us. Live in love. Live in God's love. And that's what drives our love. So as you and I rejoice in what Jesus has to say, I leave you with these words of encouragement from Luther. He said, "And since this Comforter, together with the Father and Christ, is yours, you have all you should desire. Therefore, let your heart be of good cheer. Despise boldly everything that assails you and say, 'I will remain undaunted, even if the devil and all the world were far worse than they are. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Almighty God and Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. We remember in our prayers this day Sylvie Martin, the mother of David Martin, who had been hospitalized this past week. We ask that you would watch over her and her family, and according to your gracious will, keep her safe and restore her health. Help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions that you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all of eternity. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all of our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we now join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Once again, God's blessings to you as we rejoice in our living Lord and Savior. God's blessings as you live in love, his love reflected in your love. As we gather this morning, this is the Sunday when our fall and winter schedule would have normally come to an end. So just keep in mind that when we are able to come back together, we will be into the summer schedule by that time. So when our Lord allows us to come back together, the worship services will be at 8 and at 9:30 on Sunday. The Monday evening service remains at 6:30. So keep that in mind as we have opportunity, we pray, to begin coming back together in the near future. This coming Thursday is Ascension, and we have our joint service along with St. John's and Berry Mills. That service will be here, and it will be at 6:30 on Thursday. It will be live streamed on St. John's website. You see their website in your weekly update, and then we will also be recording it as well, so you will be able to find it on our website following the service. So if you would like to join us for that Ascension service, either go to St. John's website at 6:30 on Thursday, or look for it on our website following that service. That is this coming Thursday. We do have a voters meeting that will be today, May 17th. will be gathering here in the church at 1 p.m. With the recent developments, we are planning to have the voters gather here. We'll take our precautions. We will spread ourselves around. As it says in your update and in the emails that you've been receiving, feel free to wear whatever protective gear you may wish to bring along with you. If you are still not comfortable coming and you would like to join online via Zoom, contact one of the pastors, contact one of the council members. They will send you the link so that you are able to log in. The voters meeting will be focusing on the budget that will be taking effect on July 1. And then also, just keep in mind as we go through these next couple of dates that your church council is busy talking about when we can come back together again. We're sort of in a moment patiently waiting to see if anything else changes or if something new comes along. Our council will be meeting following that voters meeting on Sunday. We're also, as pastors in our area, regularly gathering together, striving that as we begin to look at the option of reopening, that all of our congregations are kind of doing the same thing, working together in this area. So stay tuned, keep looking. You're getting tired of those two words, I know. Stay tuned. But keep your eyes on the website, keep looking for those emails, keep looking at the newsletters, as we see how things develop and as we look for the opportunity to perhaps begin coming back together again. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in. God's blessings as you worship your Lord in your families. May He be with you today and always.